gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's not every day I make Newsbusters and someone sends me a Christmas beaver that
what?
Sings.
Well, that's the most generic song I've ever heard.
Awesome. Thank you, Ronnie. Ronnie sent me a Christmas beaver. All right.
Oh, and it has teeth.
Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As you can see, I'm sporting, speaking of delightful Christmas gifts, or holiday gifts, it's a Sexy Liberal t-shirt, which it can be found at sexyliberal.com. Also, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, tickets are going very fast for January 19th, inauguration weekend, for the big Sexy Liberal Palooza, which also stars Chris and Jim opening the show, hopefully Jackie.
Yes.
Who is small enough to fit in a carry-on? So either way, hopefully we're better though. Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland Scale says, in terms of our reach on Sexy Liberal Facebook, that's what Roland does. He's a geek. He just does analytics at home. That's what he does.
Really?
Meaning with our likes and readers and their friends, we have a reach of 3,935,206 people, 100% increase over last year.
Wow.
People like us. They really, really like us. Oh, I almost rolled over my Christmas beaver.
Wow, that would hurt.
Wow. All right.
You have a spare.
All right. So Carl Frisch and I have this in common. We both made Newsbusters. Mm-hmm. But as I mentioned to Jackie at the top of the hour, if you haven't seen my headline, GOP wants to turn poor people into mulch, claims ever named Stephanie Miller.
Because we're a serious news program.
Yeah.
Right.
Because everything we say can be taken literally.
Yes. And clearly, I think the Republican Party wants to turn poor people into mulch.
No, there was no metaphor there at all.
No, that was any sort of joke at all.
No.
What is it about left-wingers and their fantasies of mass murder? Latest example, libtalker Stephanie Miller, and here's my favorite part, coat catcher sidekicks on a radio show.
Coat catcher!
That would be you two coat catchers.
I'm a coat catcher!
You two would never catch my coat.
No.
You would let me stumble over it.
Absolutely.
And pass out and fall in a pool of my own sick.
And then we call John Fugelsang to come fill in.
Exactly. Okay, you know what I was saying? The biggest thing I learn every time we make Newsbusters is we have a highly entertaining show.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully provide a transcript, and I'm like, wow, that was really funny.
That's
a great show. I wish I were on that.
Oh, I am. Wait a minute.
Oh, wow, that sounds hilarious.
You pay transcript companies good money to do that for you. Why we just let Newsbusters
and, a lot of
do
times,
it for free.
Because Jim has said so many funny things every day, I miss some of them, being old and deaf. But then I get a transcript. I'm like, wow, that was really funny. I missed that. Co-host Jim Ward imitating Boehner.
Oh, wow.
They're not serious. They're going to get rid of Medicare and welfare and kill all the poor people. That's the only thing that's going to work instead of taking a victory lap because he's so popular.
And then there's a whole transcript. Yeah. Oh, and they beat you to a Hitler reference.
Really?
Oh, boy. Got that? When the Republicans don't agree with the president, it's because they want to slaughter the poor in mass. You know, kind of like the Nazis. Damn it, Newsbusters, that's Jim's job to make a...
We're only 9 minutes into the show, and Newsbusters already gave us a Nazi reference.
Oh, my God. Wait, we'll get to all this later, but the comment's always much more precious. They're just much better comedy than we are, Jim. For instance, let's see, we've got all the mulch we'll ever need right between Stephanie Miller's ears.
Ow.
Zing.
Ow.
Oh, yikes.
Zoing.
Bam. Nothing but comedy net there. Don't confuse mulch. Somebody named, I don't know who, old somebody. Don't confuse mulch with soggy shredded wheat.
Huh?
Smiley face thing.
What?
That's a knee shredder.
My brain is made of.
Huh?
All right. Oh, let's go.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Carl Frisch, what did you do, you little scamp, to make Newsbusters?
Well, good morning, you three. You're just nothing but a common coat catcher, you two. I swear to God, it sounds like a 1920s movie.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you couple of coat catchers.
Here's another somebody doing comedy on the comments section. The GOP also strangles puppies, pushes old ladies off cliffs in their wheelchairs, and pees on kittens. Sheesh.
The truth is finally out.
Well, what is their point that they do? Oh, I see. All right, Carl Frisch, what did you do to make Newsbusters?
I'm still not quite sure, but I was on Bill Press.
Yeah. Oh.
and Jack Comb took offense to me saying that Republicans hate government. And that's why they don't run it very well.
But
right.
They,
that's
yes.
horrible. You
but,
are a horrible man.
But they hate government, so that's why they don't run it very well.
Right.
Right. Their
right.
whole plan is
so,
to sabotage
Bill,
government.
Bill Press said, you can't be in Washington here without giving your opinion about whether or not we're going off the fiscal cliff, blah, blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Right.
And
right.
I said, well, you know, unfortunately, Democrats tend to be the responsible party in terms of actually wanting to govern.
Right.
I mean, it's no surprise that when Republicans are in power, government doesn't function well. And then Bill says, because they hate it. And I say, right. I mean,
wow.
Why would you make something operate well that you don't like?
You're a
well,
couple of crazy Marxists, you two. Oh, well, I got called that, too.
What did Reagan say? Government is the problem.
Yes.
Right.
They don't like
campaign.
The government.
Right.
Yeah,
get rid
and
of the government
I,
and everything will be fine.
I don't suppose the government's anything that anybody would ever want to strangle in the bathtub.
No. Who would say such a thing? All right, let's dive into the right wing.
Some Muppet.
And get... Let's dive in. All right. Oh, Rush Limbaugh. Here we go. Rush Limbaugh.
Folks, look, I'm a little worn out, fed up, and very impatient with these ongoing assaults on the people who work in this country. Let's tax them at 100%, teach people a lesson.
Mm.
Let me tell you, if the current disaster is not teaching people a lesson,
100%.
Nothing will. We're not teaching people to be productive, and instead, we're teaching them that there's nothing wrong with being slovenly. I hear all these ideas, raise taxes on the rich, take away their deductions, all that crap. It's stupid. It's what they did in the Soviet Union. Punish success, punish achievement, punish ambition. Kill it. Make everybody dependent on the government. The hell with that.
Wow, someone's getting a little panicked about mm-hmm. losing their spare OxyContin cash.
Yeah. Well, he's nothing but a common tarp sitter.
Don't you love the straw man? Because, yeah, lots of people have proposed 100% tax rate. That's exactly what's on the table.
Well, you can't expect logic to ever into the Rush equation. Certainly not when he's talking about people that are slovenly. I mean,
right. Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
a psychologist might call that projection.
Yeah. Right, right. Oh, by the way, did you see the Kansas City Chiefs tragedy?
Yeah.
The blame? Liberalism, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Liberalism.
Oh, I see.
Liberalism to blame for that.
Yeah.
Heard that the other day
yeah.
on Rush. Yeah.
How...
Sure.
So?
Doesn't matter, Jim.
All right.
Okay.
Rush has lots of opinions on football that aren't fit for...
Oh, and also, Rush Limbaugh, marriage expert, had something to do, too, with that they weren't married. That's probably one of the... You know, liberalism, family values, marriage...
Well, he's doing his best. Yeah. You know, he says that women... You know, the one way to right. make women conservative is to marry them, and he's trying to do that one lady at a time.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Oh, so many lucky ladies.
Yeah.
So little time. Okay, Sean Hannity on the
Republicans have allowed themselves to get caught in a circular firing squad. They're negotiating publicly
yes.
among themselves,
uh-huh.
while true conservatives and Tea Party members are now being removed from key committees. And today, Speaker John Boehner adopted the president's class warfare rhetoric, rich versus the poor.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's a bit of disarray, Carl.
Yeah.
Well, Sean Hannity's on the case. It's going to get solved. it's remarkable to me that they're just now catching on that something's happening in Washington, and I'm shocked. I still can't believe that Boehner could be trying to move his caucus in the right direction.
yes.
Oops.
John Cantor. Oh my goodness! Are you there? You go. You're back. Go ahead.
I'm convinced it's only a matter of time before before Eric Cantor pulls the strings back and puts the speaker back in his place.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I love that, you know, Geithner and the White House signaling that they'll, you know, we'll go off the cliff if we have to. I posted something from the LA Times. Mm-hmm. This is the best article, Carl, I've read on this. Fiscal Cliff, Let's Take the Plunge by Jack Shakley in the LA Times. It is a great piece. He says the U.S. deficit and debt will fall. Social Security, Medicare will go on unharmed, and we'll go back to tax rates that work better than the current ones.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's certainly not something that I don't want to put us into a recession. That's more of a Republican thinking. But I think, ultimately, you see the polls. Pew has a poll saying that 53% of the American people would blame Republicans.
Yep.
To which I can only imagine Republicans are saying, oh, we're finally ahead in the poll.
I just picture Boehner sweating his bronzer off at a record pace.
Yeah.
And having to remist hourly.
Well, he's like a slug. There's a bright orange trail of Cheeto dust and sludge leading from his office to to the Capitol.
Did you get that, Newsbusters?
There you go. Okay. Ann Coulter on Hannity.
The economy is going to be a catastrophe over the next 4 years, no matter what Republicans do. You have Obamacare coming down the pike. So many people are going to part-time work and are being hurt. I mean, everyone I know in every possible industry is already seeing cutbacks in advertising, cuts backs, and right. even going to go to see the doctor.
Right.
The economy is going to be a disaster. It's only going to get worse under Obama.
Right.
By the way, was that Dexter Von Frisch, or was that...
It was.
That was Dexter.
who just screams at Ann Coulter's voice involuntarily?
Well, he hears it. It's like an earthquake. He hears it before it even happens.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, Carl and Dexter Von Frisch. As we continue Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think your show is absolutely vulgar. I think it's sap. We're
all
trying
right.
to raise kids to be
and
respectful.
I'm,
There's
oh,
no
I see.
Way you're adding to it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 22 minutes after the hour. Well, you know, we are just so competitive, Carl. Aren't we us inane liberals? Ed Asner,
that's right.
Ed Asner, who's on today's show, also made Newsbusters.
Yep.
Trying to steal our thunder.
What a week.
He asked a Fox News producer if he could urinate on him.
Yeah.
All right. You win this round, Asner. Coming back.
Well, I mean, in fairness to Asner, I mean, maybe he thought it was the shower with Bill O'Reilly that he was getting into.
All right. Let's continue Right Wing World. Brian Fisher on that there American Family.
Yep.
Radio, the kind of family that does not involve the gays.
Not at all. No pink fruit in that family tree. No.
This whole concept of using a weapon for self-defense is rooted in the teaching of Christ.
What?
So our Second Amendment is rooted in the teaching of Jesus Christ. So we've got a legal principle there that is rooted in the teaching of Christ. It's hard to get much more legitimate than that.
How many people did Jesus kill? And did he use a slingshot?
I don't remember Jesus talking about the guns so much, Carl.
Well, I do. I mean, remember when he was up there on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right.
But... They will have to pry this weapon out of this gun out of my cold dead hands.
Right. If I'd only had a gun, that's what he said.
Right.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that was the lesson. I mean, why else would you wear a robe if you weren't trying to
conceal it?
Right.
Carry. Yeah. Okay then. Oh, really? Do you have to torture us twice? Don Wildman on Wall Builders Radio?
Yeah. Because he's awesome. Mm-hmm.
But we've got a huge problem in America that Sharia is now being.
Oh boy.
Inculcated into our legal system.
Good word.
Really?
The influence of the Muslim Brotherhood today in America is absolutely incredible. I'm going to come back to this issue.
Well,
we're becoming a Marxist nation.
Uh-oh.
You can call it whatever you want to, but we're becoming a Marxist nation. And everything we're doing is right out of the Marxist playbook.
You're right. Everything we're doing. Everything.
It's right out of the Marxist playbook. Go back and read the Communist Manifesto if you don't believe me. And
so
then look
Russian,
at what we've done in America.
You know, I need some light reading on the plane on the way to Washington for the inauguration. Maybe I will.
Read the Communist Manifesto?
I think
I
will.
Well, I mean, he did offer that we can call it whatever we want. I'm going with delusional paranoia.
Okay, good.
Well, that's where
I
find Jimmy
D's. At first, I thought when you said Wall Builders Radio, it occurred to me that, yes, they will give anybody a show on the right. And the second thing that occurred to me when he started talking, the second he said Sharia law, was that they really will give anybody. I did not know that Chris spent his mornings monitoring ham radio.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes, that's part of my job. It's in my job description.
All right, and we finish. Oh, must we begin and end with Rush Limbaugh?
Well, yeah.
Right.
This morning there was a joint press conference that featured the so-called Republican leadership of John Boehner and Eric Cantor and about 15 other people that were standing there, and I don't know why, but they were smiling. Now, what we got today was a seminar on how to surrender. It was weak.
Oh, it's just awesome, the disarray, isn't it, Carl?
Well, I mean, this has shades of immigration reform during the Bush administration. You recall, Congress was ready to give President Bush a bill that he would have signed for immigration reform.
Right.
And right-wing talk radio went absolutely ballistic, and everybody backed down.
Yep, amnesty, yep.
And, that, you know, they backed down so that they could blame President Obama for not passing something. It's remarkable to see everybody turning on a Congress that has not even come to the table with legitimate compromise yet.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, they've not come to the table and promised to do anything other than what they promised last time around.
Yes.
This is all preemptive, teeth rattling.
Right, and what Romney just ran on and lost on, it's hilarious. All
well,
right.
That's how you compromise when you're a Republican. Right. You offer what you offered before and say that it's compromise.
All right, Carl Frisch, you better come with if you want to beat Ed Asner to Newsbusters, you better come with something a little more incendiary next week. But you know,
well, I am bringing my best A game to sexy liberal DC. So
Hooray! Hopefully,
I can make it to Newsbusters a few more times before then.
By the way, one of our listeners was relieved that was Dexter barking during Right Wing World. He thought it was Ann Coulter's vagina barking. So
oh, goodness,
everybody's relieved.
See, I got to come up with something like that.
Yes, that's how you be incendiary, Carl.
There you go. Little lesson for you. Ring the bell, school's in, sucker. Love you, Carl.
Have a good one.
Bye. All right, can I have some comedy music? You know what? I swear to God, I think this is like a little circular game. You know they do this, so then I'll mention them.
Exactly.
I love you, Newsbusters. Yes, GOP wants to turn poor people into mulch, claims ever-inane Stephanie Miller.
Is this Tim Graham that wrote this, or is this someone else?
No, it's someone new, Jack Coleman. Hi, Jack. Yeah. What is it about left-wingers, their fantasies of mass murder? Latest example, lib-talker Stephanie Miller and her code-catcher sidekicks. Hey, Jim!
See?
I'm not a code-catcher, clearly, because I failed to catch the coat.
I just threw my coat because it's a wacky visual stunt. He threw it back at me, see?
And you didn't catch it either.
You would never catch my coat. All right, so here's the handy-dandy transcript. Co-host Jim Ward imitating Boner. We're not serious! Get rid of Medicare and welfare and kill all the poor people. That's the only thing that's going to work. Instead of taking a victory lap because he's so popular... Miller, that's our starting position. Producer Chris LaVoy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I learn about the show. Jim's really funny, and you add absolutely nothing.
I add nothing.
Value.
Why am I here? I
press
say
buttons.
Yeah and wow.
Miller.
Press buttons and flex.
Your job is to turn that back of your neck into a bigger package of hot dogs.
All right. Right away, Ms. Miller.
Miller, turn poor people into mulch. Reasonable. Why won't the president get serious? Ward, again imitating Boner. That's a balanced approach. LaVoy. Oh, wait a minute. When we come back, it's actually added something of marginal value.
Wow.
All right.
Can't wait to hear this.
25 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The only class in this act is...
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Are they shooting my beaver?
Yes,
studio?
Your Christmas beaver.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call him
all
Bucky.
Right. Okay. 4 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH.
Bucky the Christmas beaver.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. So it's getting exciting now on the fiscal cliff, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
Tim Geithner yesterday signaled that... the Obama administration is absolutely prepared to go off the cliff if Republicans do not agree to raise rates on the wealthy. Let's check in with Representative Peter Welch, our good friend from the great state of Vermont. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. It is exciting.
Yeah.
Well, now it's getting exciting. It's interesting. I just posted a great piece on our website, Congressman, called Fiscal Cliff, Let's Take the Plunge, by Jack Shakely. But it was an interesting analysis of almost kind of what Tim Geithner was saying, that I just think that we cannot give in this time on these top tax rates.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right, and we don't have to. We've got the leverage. The president knows he's got the wind at his back, and that wind, incidentally, is a solid election victory where he ran quite explicitly on raising the tax rates on the top 2%. So he knows that the American people supported. Incidentally, right. a majority of Romney voters on exit polls supported that position. So he knows this is not just him dealing with Boehner. It's him dealing with the will of the American people. And the most important thing for him right now is to be able to get a significant revenue component as part of any long-term deficit reduction plan. And the circumstances favor him with the election result, number one. Number two, January 1 comes, then we put a bill on the floor. We then, quote, lower taxes because we can provide tax relief at that point for 98% of Americans, and there's no way Republicans would vote against that.
Well, and Representative Welch, it's interesting. The president, again, very explicit yesterday, talking about, you know, this raising the debt ceiling debacle again. He said, it is not a game I'm going to play again.
Well, that's also very important because we blew it last time on the debt ceiling in August. That's what got us into this whole fiscal cliff situation.
Right.
If you remember, the Republicans, for the first time in the history of the country, literally started playing Russian roulette with America's full faith and credit. And it was such brinksmanship that we ended up having the markets panic, mm-hmm. and we had the first downgrade in the history of our countries. And that cost billions of dollars, by the way, to taxpayers. And, you know, a moment of candor here. In the past, both parties have grandstanded on the debt ceiling to, increase. Mm-hmm. The out-of-party power always using it as an opportunity to make their criticisms of the party in power. But the grandstanding is not literally pulling the plug on meeting our obligations in denying full faith and credit. And that's a line that the Republican leadership crossed in August. And that has catastrophic consequences. That's an economic weapon of mass destruction.
That is going off a cliff, in my opinion. As the president has said, that has never before been used as a negotiating point by one party.
That's right. And we've got to be tough on this because the long-term consequences for this country, where either party, frankly, you know, it's the Republicans now, but if this becomes a tool that the party, that one party or either party can use, where literally we hold hostage the American economy and where to achieve your goal, you literally destroy the confidence that the world needs that we'll pay our bills. That is highly destructive of, in the harm you'll do far outweighs any gain you claim to be seeking. So we've got to draw a line. That's not acceptable as a tactic. And if, they being the Republicans in this case, actually assert that, then my view, the president has the ability to use the 14th Amendment and pay our bills.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and Representative, it's interesting, this LA Times article I refer to, it talks about 450 economists, including a bunch of Nobel Prize winners, wrote to George Bush telling him, don't enact these tax cuts. Here's what's going to happen. Do you know they were absolutely right about absolutely everything that happened? So, you know, basically the Times is saying, am I missing something here? Can letting a failed tax policy die be such a bad thing? I mean,
That's exactly right. I mean, our tax revenues are down. You know, historically, they've been about 18 to 19% of the gross domestic product. They're down now around 15%, a little above that. Part of that's the recession, but significant loss of revenue was because of the Bush tax policies. And it was, you know, obviously based on this ideological fiction that if you lower taxes, it's automatically going to increase revenues. And their focus was lowering taxes at the high end. And, of course, we all know the story. We had higher tax rates under Clinton, and we created 20 million jobs, and we had 4 years of surplus. And then the Bush folks came in, put the war on the credit card and prescription drugs on the credit card and lowered taxes at the high end, and we had only 700,000 jobs, and we've had astonishing deficits since then.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The same LA Times piece even makes that case that with the war in Afghanistan winding down, you know, as you know, the military, you know, is asking for less than Congress even wants to give. So I'm not sure. I think there's been so much hysteria over this fiscal cliff that, you know, I'm not sure is warranted.
Well, that's exactly right. Because and also, you know, the Ryan budget, you know, their doctrine, and it really is doctrine because it's not like based on solid economic theory. Their doctrine is three things. One, lower taxes for the wealthy, and that will trickle down. Untrue. Number two, increased spending in the Pentagon way beyond what even the Pentagon wants, and that'll make us strong. What it will do is waste a lot of money. And then three, cut the heart out of safety net programs and domestic investment in things like education, scientific research, and impoverish these agencies, and somehow we'll have a stronger future. No, you know, none of those things make any sense. What at the core of the Ryan approach, and he is representative of the dominant Republican point of view now, is that you're on your own. You know, it is an Ayn Rand kind of deal where if you're well off and you can afford to send your kids to private school, if you're really well off and you can afford to get the most expensive health care, if you're well off and you can live in a gated community, that's the way it ought to be, and all of us ought to strive for that. But the fact is that when this country's done well, we've had policies that have given the middle class an opportunity to succeed, and that it takes a public-private partnership.
Yep. Representative, before you go, I know this is it's a fool's game guessing what Republicans are going to do, but how do you see this playing out, and how about the bill for the middle-class tax cuts in the House? What's going
to
happen?
They're going to cave. We just don't know when. I mean, they have to, because they're in this bizarre position of resisting having tax rates go down for 98% of the American people, only because they insist on having them go down for the top 2%. And that's not sustainable, and they know it. Politically, it's just a total loser for them. So really the question is whether they'll capitulate before January 1 or they'll wait till after January 1 where they can have the face-saving vote to lower taxes and they don't have to then go to Father Confessor Grover Norquist and forgiveness.
Yep, exactly. Representative Welch, great to talk to you as always. Thanks for giving us an update. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. There he goes. He's awesome.
Yep.
All right. Oh, where's my comedy music? Let's get back to a Newsbusters thing about us. Okay, so I'm not saying they don't get a joke on the right. It's just the headline is GOP wants to turn poor people into mulch, claims ever named Stephanie Miller. And technically, it was Jim imitating John Boehner.
Who was initially Mitch McConnell and then Boehner.
Same. Should we stipulate that we don't actually think John Boehner wants to turn poor people into mulch, that it was a
maybe
joke.
Mitch McConnell does, though.
Maybe.
Well, being a turtle and all, you know.
Sure. He likes to roll
around
in the
mulch. Make Newsbusters again while talking about us being on news, making Newsbusters?
That would be so meta.
Wow.
Oh, we were almost
it's like
to
a funhouse mirror. Yeah. Like a lady from Shanghai.
We were almost to the part where you actually almost added something of value to the
program. When does that happen?
All right, so it basically is just a hilarious Jim Ward, but he's doing his Boehner imitation thing. He wants to get rid of the mulch. Yeah, right. Okay, so I said turn poor people into mulch, Miller. Why won't the president get serious? Ward, again, imitating Boehner. That's a balanced approach. LaVoy, hey, that is a solution. You did a whole sentence.
That didn't add anything to the conversation, though.
Miller, I made a chart. Poor person, wood chipper. Ward, still imitating Boehner. Just kill all the poor people, and then we'll have a balanced approach. But you won't do that because you're so popular. That's funny,
Jim.
Funny. LaVoy, and we'll have mulch. So it's a win-win. Sure, we need mulch.
That added something.
That was good.
Okay.
It was a callback.
Right. Hey.
Miller, and new things will grow. LaVoy, yeah. You're back to your usual uselessness. Miller, new rich things. Cena, I am funny. I am funny. Jim, funny. You, every now and again, something. Okay, so Newsbusters writes, got that? When Republicans don't agree with the president, it's because they want to slaughter the poor en masse. You know, kind of like the Nazis. Something else I've noticed about liberals in the media, since the fiscal cliff negotiations began, they'd rather vilify Republicans than cite specifically what the Obama administration is proposing. Oh, no, I think we've said ad nauseum specifically what the Obama administration is proposing, much as they have.
Technically, the Nazis didn't want to kill the poor. They wanted to kill people of various ethnicities.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for
that. Would make them extreme right-wingers, by the way.
I'm sure it is so noted at Newsbusters as they are busily transcribing the new transcript of us reading the old transcript of the last show that we made.
But National Socialist has socialist in the word, so that's how you know that Obama's a Nazi.
Well, don't hold your breath waiting for liberals like Miller to mention another Obama administration pitch calling for Congress to give up its control of the nation's debt limit, which is probably a good idea because, as the congressman said, he can.
Yes, exactly.
No! Miller prefers to conjure up ominous images of wood chippers just over the horizon, whatever it takes to keep her amused.
It is. Kind of the point of the show.
And then I asked you. Some of the comment section, some of the zippy repartee, as I mentioned before, we've got all the mulch we need between Stephanie Miller's ears.
Pow! Zing!
Don't confuse mulch with soggy shredded wheat. Happy face.
What does that mean?
If anyone is potential fodder for Soylent Green, this fetid gas bag is.
Hey!
Turn you into mulch.
Yeah, it's so there.
Gas bag. All right, thank you, Newt. I love you so much. I really do. So much.
Yeah,
okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. With HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Now you can even present from your iPad. Ooh, try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in that promo code, Stephanie. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Debbie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hi. I know what the Republicans have planned for the Democrats. They are hoping to make us all into, like, Glenn Beck megachurch members. The religious shows aren't even talking about religion anymore. I used to watch them, but now it's all political.
Oh.
And this morning I saw something. I never thought it would be that bad. They actually said they're trying to get money for the Lassie Ministries. And they say for $120 we can keep up the enemy from stealing our land and capping our, and they're going to cap our finances if we don't send the ministries some money.
Who is the enemy stealing our land?
That's what's scary, and it's on a religious show. It's all political now. And,
right, but who are they saying is the enemy stealing our land?
That they didn't. They didn't. That's what's scary.
Just the enemy.
You just need to send them cash right away in order to prevent that. Sure.
Because only they know who they are.
Right. Just send a bag of cash. Don't ask questions. Just go. Do. All right. The president yesterday on the fiscal cliff.
Let's allow higher rates to go up for the top 2%. That includes all of you, yes. But not in any way that's going to affect your spending, your lifestyles, or the economy in any significant way. Let's make sure that 98% of Americans don't see a single dime in tax increases next year. 97% of small businesses don't see a single dime of tax increases next year. And by doing that alone, we raise almost $1 trillion.
Associated Press saying it may be a bluff or a bargaining ploy, but the White House is signaling President Obama is willing to let the country go over the cliff if they don't do that. The White House communications director said this is a choice of the Republican Party. If they're willing to do higher rates on the wealthy, that's something, there's a lot we can talk about. If they're not, they will push us over the cliff. Tim Geithner sort of echoed that on CNBC. He said he was asked if the administration was prepared to go over the cliff, if they won't increase taxes on the wealthy. He said, oh, absolutely. There's no prospect in an agreement that doesn't involve those rates going up on the top 2% of the wealthiest Americans. That's pretty unequivocal. He said the administration was also prepared to walk away from a deal that did not include raising the debt ceiling. He said we are not prepared to have the American economy held hostage to periodic threats to default on our obligations.
There you go.
Which is what Congressman Walsh was just saying. Mm-hmm. And he also pointed out, again, what's been said over and over, taxes were the centerpiece of the presidential campaign. He ran on a pledge to repeal these Bush tax cuts. A new poll shows, he was talking about exit polls, 60% of voters, an even higher percentage than backed Obama's reelection, supported it. A new poll suggests
including Republicans.
Right. Congressman Welch said Republicans would take the bulk of the blame if this happened. So I'd say we're in a very strong position.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
He ran on it. He won.
Yes.
Even Republicans.
Every time
agree,
they talk on TV, I just am like, you lost.
But what about having Mitt Romney join the government? No.
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 STFU. Okay. We posted this. I got to read a little. This is the best thing, Chris, I have read thus far on this, and it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Fiscal cliff, let's take the plunge. In the LA Times by Jack Shakley. The U.S. deficit and debt will fall. The Social Security and Medicare will go on unharmed. We'll go back to tax rates that work better than the current ones.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about, in February 2003, 450 economists, including 10 of the 24 living Nobel laureates in economics, made a public plea to President George W. Bush not to enact these tax cuts. He would not do what they promised. They said these tax cuts will not do what they promised. Instead, they said the cuts would, quote, worsen the budget deficit, increase inequality, decrease the ability of the U.S. government to fund essential services while failing to produce economic growth. Well, what happened?
Huh.
Exactly that. In the nearly 10 years that have elapsed since that plea, the budget deficit has ballooned. The gap between the wealthy and the middle class has expanded. The economy has spiraled into the greatest decline since the Great Depression. History has proved that 450 economists were exactly correct. On December 31st, these same Bush-era tax cuts were set to expire. This, we are told in hushed or hysterical tones, could push the American economy off a fiscal cliff. Am I missing something here? Can letting a failed tax policy die be such a bad thing? And then he goes on to quote the CBO, he says, not really, says the CBO. The CBO does warn if Congress extends current policy, the deficit of debt will increase, slowing the economy in the long run and dramatically increasing interest costs. He said, because of the deal Congress and the president made last year, letting the current tax rate expire will result in across-the-board budget reductions in many government programs. Still, there would be no decreases in Social Security, Medicaid, and veterans benefits. Medicare could take a 2% hit, but it's unclear if it would affect individuals' benefits. Defense spending would take a big hit, but because of the wind-down in Afghanistan, some military leaders are actually asking for less than Congress is willing to shell out. Also, reduced military spending does not mean a weakened national defense. And he talks about the 90s, same tax rates, and from 1990 to 99, defense spending decreased by 1% a year. And, you know, this weakened military is nonsense. Jim, how many more nukes do we have? We have, like, enough, 27,000 times over to blow up the country with the next amount.
And we still have massive armies in Europe protecting them from a non-existent Soviet Union.
Right.
You know, we could thin the herd there a little bit and practice, you know, civilian life.
Anyway,
Korea is another issue. I mean, that you know, we do need people there.
Well, but he points out, so who's behind all this fiscal cliff? Saber-rattling big earners and their friends who despise the idea of the tax rate. Oh, eek, going from 35 to 39.6%, where it was through the entire 90s, one of our most prosperous decades in our history. And any changes on the low, low, low capital gains tax. So will Congress pass a comprehensive bill by New Year's Eve to avoid the fall off the fiscal cliff? In a pig's eye, what's much more likely is a weak agreement to continue the current tax rates, kick the can down the road, and let the next Congress figure it out. He says, and this is the most solution-oriented thing, he said, here's another idea. Let's join hands and walk to the bottom of the cliff together. It's not very far down. The deficit and the national debt will be reduced. Social Security, Medicaid, for the most part, Medicare will go on unharmed. America will go back to tax rates that work better than the cuts we've been living with. Congress will actually be forced to do something for a change. Republicans and Democrats will have to work together to repair those programs damaged by sequestration, rather than filibuster or chant talking points to make their way around the hard decisions. Perhaps America is on the brink of a fiscal opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Not a cliff. Very good.
There you
go. Smartest point class, I think, today and maybe every day.
I remember George Bush's first inaugural address.
You got ourselves a surplus. Means you're all paying too much tax.
Yeah.
I'm going to fix that.
Yeah, he sure did. Kablooey. Thanks, W.
Yeah.
But the job creators... The job creators can't be taxed because they've created the jobs. They didn't create the jobs
when they had
those massive tax cuts. In fact, we got the worst financial downturn since the Great Depression.
Yep. Carol in Pennsylvania.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi,
great
honey.
Show as usual.
Thank you. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. Congress don't care. That's what everybody's forgetting. They don't give a damn because they're going to get their checks. They're going to get their benefits. And I think they're trying to subvert the government, and I think Grover Norquist should pay their checks and benefits and take them off the payroll, and we'll save a ton of money.
Yep, absolutely. Very good. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with more on this. Ed Asner and much more coming up as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Check it out. Get some Sexy Liberal swag for holiday gifts.
Get some stuff crap.
Did I forget to ask you for a sexy liberal promo? Maybe we should do that here. I think that we should. January 19th coming up in the for the inauguration weekend. Sexy Liberal Palooza. Chris and Jim will be there. Hopefully Jackie. It's a whole thing.
4 years ago, we witnessed the first inauguration of President Barack Obama. In November, America decided one term just wasn't enough. This time around, Stephanie Miller and her team of two-term comics are coming to make this a party D.C. will never forget. On January 19th, just 2 days before Obama's second inauguration, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and the goddess of liberals, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com, and if you want to skip the fees, stop by the Warner Theater box office at 513 13th Street Northwest. The Teabaggers lost in November, so Stephanie is going to do her thing before the inaugural ball.
That means two things.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live in D.C. Inauguration Weekend. For more information, go to SexyLiberal.com.
Oh, thank you very much, Shino, Daniel. Okay. Guess who's coming? Allie in Sausalito. She can't help herself.
From all the way from Sausalito?
Right.
Well, we met her there in D.C.
Yes.
Oh.
Hey, Steph. Wanted to let you know I bought 6 VIP tickets. Yikes, for the Washington, D.C. Sexy Liberal in January. Starting to realize I'm clearly a Stephaholic. Clearly. Stephhead. Yeah. This was not a rational choice at all. I've already been to 2 of your shows, as you remember, the first time in San Francisco last year, and recently in Seattle, where I met the famous Julie for the first time, my pen pal of 3 years.
Yeah.
See, I'm telling you, people are just going to see each other now. Julie in Seattle is going to hang with Sue and Rockwell and, you know, Von Seal in Asheville.
Sure.
And, right. Kenny Pick in Cleveland.
Yep.
And, yeah. Then I heard that Chris, Aisha, and best of all, Jim Ward were going to be there as well. And like an uncontrollable tick, my hands went to the keyboard, dialed up Ticketmaster, bought 6 tickets. I only intended to buy 4, but 6 was what I ended up with. It was a glitch in the software, but I didn't complain. Instead, we contacted our family in Washington, got takers for 4 of the tickets almost immediately.
Cool. Wow.
As I've said before, you're like catnip to a cat. Meow. We're all looking forward to it. Get ready for a good groping. Okay.
Alrighty then.
Also, want to apologize for not getting back to you about my experience preparing your mom's sauerkraut for Thanksgiving. Bottom line, very popular. The upshot, it was a hit. And being of Polish descent myself, I'm glad to have the recipe. Cheers, Ellie and Sausalito. Hey, there you go. Also, I'm a Polak from Lackport.
You
the
are.
Transit from Lackawanna.
So you know your way around a pierogi.
Right. Okay, and a good dish of sauerkraut. All right. I was telling Jackie at the top, we will not have to fly Transvaginal Airlines to the inauguration.
Right.
Oh, because Oklahoma, yay! They just ruled the transvaginal probe unconstitutional.
Yes.
Which went sweeping down the plane.
Exactly.
We're known for closely inspecting your carry-on. We're Transvaginal Airlines.
Thank you.
We pulled out of Oklahoma, but we're still committed to fly regularly into Kansas and Nebraska. And get ready. We have plans to fly to Alabama, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and Texas. At Transvaginal, we know why you fly, and we'll be there for you. Whether you like it or not.
Will my beaver fit in the overhead, do you think?
Yes. On transvaginal?
On the way,
absolutely.
On the way to the, you know, what do you call it? The inauguration.
Yes.
This is, by the way, I have to thank Ronnie again who sent me the Christmas beaver. See? All you do is click his foot and it sings.
The singing beaver.
Yep. Yep, it's talented. Okay.
Just watch out for the teeth.
This is bad news for you guys. Gawker brings us a story. Chicks are taking all the good jobs. Sorry. Gawker says enlightened men know the old system in which the top professional fields were almost completely dominated by good old boys simply was not tenable. I mean the whining alone, year after year. I don't have to paint you a picture. It was just common sense to allow a few more women into the legal and medical professionals professions, modernization and all that, posing for the company diversity brochure. But my fellow men, I'm afraid we've grown lax. The Wall Street Journal reports. The latest disturbing census figures, which paint a portrait of a nation in which professional men may rapidly be becoming the new black people or gay people or other oppressed group. Oh, no. A world in which we are two-thirds minority in our chosen fields. Women held 33.4% of legal jobs in 2010. The share of female physicians and surgeons increased.
How about illegal jobs?
To 32.4%. No, let's not talk about the illegal surgeons.
Oh, that, yeah, the illegal jobs, that's filled with women.
Sure.
Yeah.
You can do a tonsillectomy with a butter knife. Come on in. In 1970, women were just 9.7% of the nation's doctors and just 4.9% of its lawyers. So there, you go, girls. Take that. Gawker writes, what's next? A world in which men make up half of all the doctors and lawyers? What bitter negation of Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of a day in which all men would be created equal with other men? I can only imagine that Jesus is at this very moment shedding a single tear in heaven, urging Lady Liberty to consider becoming an executive assistant, a perfectly respectable job which would suit her personality and allow her to one day find a husband. Swift chicks, we're getting entirely too uppity.
That's right.
All right. Oh, wowee. Speaking of...
Hey, Jiggles.
All right.
Grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
All right. I do. Every day. Governor Christine Gregoire signs into law a measure legalizing same-sex marriage in Washington State.
Yep. That went into effect at midnight this morning.
Woot. Woot.
And pot's legal as of midnight.
Right.
Last night.
Right.
And the feds are not... completely on board with
you
that.
You can't grow it. You can't, or no, you can't. There are a whole bunch of things you can't do with it, but you can smoke it. So,
okay, all right.
There you go.
Just don't acquire it.
Yeah. You just don't acquire it in any way, shape, or form.
Have it.
And as somebody
but
said,
don't.
We've been reading that Bible verse wrong all these years. Mm-hmm. If a man lays with a man, he shall be stoned. And
everybody must get stoned.
Great. Awesome. We're doing both in Washington State. Party on. Smoke if you got them. Okay. Deb in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, love.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. We love you so much.
Thank you.
So, that's so old hat, though. So, the reason I called was former, members of the House of Representatives and Senate understand that part of their deal is when they get elected, and also the former congresspeople and former senators, they understand that part of the deal is that they're going to receive that yearly salary for the rest of their lives. So when people like Joe Scarborough go on the air and talk about entitlements being Medicare and Social Security, I think that we ought to remind him and call MSNBC and tell them that we don't understand why a person would be so hypocritical about the things that we paid into. And
yeah.
We paid into him and people like Joe Walsh and Alan West and those ignoramu. And
by the way, I don't know if you heard me talking about the CEO of Goldman Sachs talking about we just can't afford these entitlements anymore.
Oh,
I'm like, excuse me, you're the one that took that big government bailout to cover your losses and then
Oh my God, and he's one of those people that should really stay behind those gated communities because, you know, gated communities really only sprang up because people who live there know that the economy is unfair and they know all about their French Revolution history and they don't want the commoners to be able to drive up to their block.
Yes.
Anyway, the other
thing
I want to
They're anti-melanin gates to keep the brown out.
I was hoping to make another point.
Oh, yeah, sure, go ahead.
About Bill Press mentioned that Karl Rove and Dick Morris aren't going to be on Fox anymore.
Well, they're benched. They're kind of backbenchers now.
When producers want to have them on, they have to get the written permission of Roger Ailes himself in order to have them on.
Yeah, if they already had too high a percentage of wrong on that particular show, they can't
have. So if Hannity pulls a hamstring, then Morris comes in.
Sure. Mike in Philly, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. I have a buddy of mine who was in a wheelchair, and his life changed for the better when they passed that law. He was able to go to Philly's games and get on buses. They put on the elevated train. They put all elevators in for him, and it was just wonderful. I don't understand that vote the other day in the Senate.
Yeah. I don't think any decent fucking person does. You know what it is?
That was a national disgrace.
They're taking their talking points off the crazy right wing. That's something Santorum has been was talking about. These crazy right wing sort of conspiracy theories on the radio about it's about one world government and trying to affect your homeschooler in Utah, and it's like what?
It's trying to affect, you know, disadvantaged people, trying to help disadvantaged people.
I remember
that's all it's doing.
Doesn't
have anything to do with one world government.
I don't know what I went there for, but this extreme right wing sort of libertarian woman was bitching about them putting in the ramps on curbs for wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect you at all? But she was complaining that her tax dollars are being used to help.
Because it's a ramp to one world government. That's what it is. It's like it's a slope.
You know what, lady? That's what tax dollars are for.
So disabled people don't fall out of their wheelchairs,
right.
Just yeah. So you know, because a curve is...
So you can actually travel in your
I know it doesn't affect you, lady, because you can walk on both feet.
Yeah. But maybe she can't anymore.
Some other people...
That would be divine
Alberto.
Retribution.
Alberto in Florida. Hello, Alberto.
Hey, Steph, listen, I'm glad you mentioned right now the conspiracy theory about the one world government. And I was calling to let you know that there is such a toxic and dangerous relationship for our country between the political right and those churches controlled by the Christian religious right. Where do you think that the political right got their
right? That's what Jesus would want, is us not to help the disabled, because that's what he mostly talked about. Is he, you know, mostly spoke out against, you know, ramps and things like that.
He would say, "Why don't you just heal them?
Come on,
that's what I do.
Heal yourself, lazy."
You know what? I'm guessing Bob Dole was wondering why Bob Dole was ever a Republican in the first place.
Yeah.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think your show is absolutely vulgar. I think it's sad. We're
all
trying
right.
to raise kids to be
and
respectful.
I'm,
there's
oh,
no
see.
Way you're adding to it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
No, that's not voguing.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Waving your hands in front of your face is not voguing.
Who can remember? 23 minutes. Stop it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Stop it.
Free. Yes. Toll free from anywhere. Chris in Yankton writes, Steph in the Mooks.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to remember with this whole phony debt ceiling nonsense is that it's an argument about whether or not we should pay our bill. Congress has already spent this money. Republicans are arguing that now, after spending the money, we shouldn't pay the bill. The phony debt ceiling panic is like one of us saying we aren't going to pay our credit card bill. We must cut spending. I'm not going to pay Citibank this month. And in addition to being stupid and unethical, I wonder how that would work out.
Mm-hmm.
We'd end up in the pokey. That's how, Chris.
The pokey?
The deuce, I say.
The who's gal.
Okay, Marvin in Chicago.
The big house.
Hi, Marvin.
Good morning, guys. When you guys were reminiscing about the great George W. Bush in his first inaugural address about tax revenues, you notice he was concerned about a surplus. He didn't say we need to raise our taxes to narrow that surplus. He said, let's lower the revenue. And
yes.
So this is like flips the argument on its head. That, and I know that George W. Bush is toxic to the Republicans now, but even that goofball saw it. When you lower taxes, you're going to lower revenue. He did not suggest we raise taxes to lower revenue. So
yeah,
I found
well, and
it
they
ironic
were,
that the
right.
sage words of George W. Bush are relevant now.
Right. And one of our worst economic presidents ever, as Jim always says, these were meant to sunset. These
right.
tax cuts, even when he did them, they weren't meant to go forever. The president yesterday.
If Congress in any way suggests that they're going to tie negotiations to debt ceiling votes.
Thank you.
And take us to the brink of default once again as part of a budget negotiation, which, by the way, we have never done in our history until we did it last year. I will not play that game. Because we've got to break that habit before it starts.
In other words, homie, don't play that.
Exactly.
Yes,
you beat me to that, yes. Representative Mike Honda, Democrat of California, one of the top budget player in the Congressional Progressive Caucus, he said, I'm incredibly relieved to see rationality spreading throughout the Republican Party. He believes they are signaling interest in backing down on tax cuts for the wealthy. Mm-hmm. That's what Representative Welch said earlier on the show.
Right.
He said they're going to cave. They have no choice. It's a question of when. And how exactly. Was I right about something else, Chris? Yes, I was. Look at that headline. Obama and Boehner discuss fiscal cliff by phone.
They called each other last night.
No, he's drunk dialing the president at all hours. That's what he's doing.
Okay. There's that. But they talk.
He's taking that 3 a.m. call probably over and over.
But they talk.
What time does Barfi's Bar and Grill close, for God's sakes? How late does that tavern stay open?
As long as I'm there, it's open. Because I'm their best customer.
Okay. For the first time in days, yes, President Obama and the Boehner spoke by phone about the fiscal cliff. Officials provided no details of the conversation. You know why, Jim? Because Boner was drunk.
Allegedly.
And then when he got too drunk and passed out, he had Clarence Thomas's wife call. Through those 7:30 a.m. calls. Which came...
More bar snacks!
Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma became the latest to break ranks and say he could support the president's demand for an increase in tax rates among the upper incomes. Eric Cantor said Republicans want to sit down with the president. We want to talk specifics.
No, you don't.
The fact that we didn't include any in our plan, that's, you know...
Yeah. We're saving them up. For
right,
them.
No. Right. Yeah, and as we've said earlier on the show, presidential aides have even encouraged speculation Obama is willing to let the economy go over the cliff if Republicans are not going to, come to the table.
And again, can we stop calling it a tax increase? They're tax cuts that were meant to expire 2 years
Thank
ago.
You. That's right. Thank you. Tim Geithner underscored the president's determination. He told CNBC the administration absolutely prepared to have the economy go over the so-called cliff. He said the size of the problem is so large it cannot be solved without rates going up, period. End of the story, the president.
We can probably solve this in about a week. It's not that tough. But we need that conceptual breakthrough that says we need to do a balanced plan.
Chuck Schumer said that Republicans are like generals hunkered away in a bunker who don't realize their army in the fields has already laid down its arms.
Hit the reference.
Yeah, someone's going to do that thing, that internet thing with Hitler right. and the...
Oh, they already have. Probably. Oh, they already have.
No, there's several versions.
Yeah, yes. they already have.
Yeah, with this. Okay, the president.
I'll be here, and I'll be available at any moment to sit down with the president to get serious about solving this problem.
Serious. We got to get serious about solving a problem. That's going to take a lot of bourbon. Serious amount of bourbon.
Serious liquor.
Serious amount of
Not
bourbon.
The kids' kind of liquor. The Boner also accused the president of shifting the goalposts. In a fiscal cliff negotiation.
Stop shifting the goalposts. How are you going to kick a field goal if you keep moving the goalposts? Okay. Oh, wait, it's because I'm drunk.
We need a response from the White House. We can't sit here and negotiate with ourselves.
There's...
Yeah.
What is there to negotiate?
Exactly. The president, I mean, this has been going on for years. They know exactly what he's proposing. Right. It's been out there, you know, in the pamphlet. It's incredible. He's still flabbergasted.
I'm flabbergasted.
There isn't anything like it.
You will do everything we tell you to. Who do you think you are?
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily. You better listen to me.
Stephanie Miller.
Flounder. I want to help you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Flabbergasted.
Okay, yeah, exactly. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free for a minute. Who wants more Boner? John Boner on the debt.
The revenues we're putting on the table are going to come from, guess who? The rich.
Oh, my God.
Now, there are ways to limit deductions, close loopholes, and have the same people pay more of their money to the federal government without raising tax rates, which we believe will harm our economy.
No.
Confused. And again, the arithmetic doesn't add up. And these tax cuts were meant to expire 2 years ago. It was written into them when they were proposed that they should expire. So, STF. You.
There you go. Thank you. Excuse me.
What?
And the Boner one more time.
If the president doesn't agree with our proposal and our outline, I think he's got an obligation to send one to the Congress.
Yeah.
And a plan that can pass both chambers of Congress.
A plan that we like. It's your obligation to do what we say.
To deal
with not like
what,
you
to do what my
election
crazy
or anything.
Teabaggy caucus says you should. Oh, by the way, the members that he booted off his House committee are complaining.
Oh?
They like it!
Two GOP lawmakers who were booted off choice committees stood up at a closed-door meeting and angrily voiced their concerns to Boner and the entire House Republican conference. Apparently, they were met with stony silence. Boner was unamused.
He was
sleeping.
Yeah, under the desk. Sleeping it off.
I will take your concerns under advisement under the desk. Ike in Charleston, South Carolina. Hello, Ike.
Hey there.
Hey.
Quick points. Hey. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Two quick points. One, just finished last hour listening to about a 5-minute interview with Tim Scott down here out of South Carolina. He's a House member.
Uh-huh.
After hearing the comments from Senator DeMint, how he doesn't get the idea that cutting back on government spending is actually taking money out of the economy. For some reason, they seem to think that just private money is the only thing that fuels the economy.
Wow.
But Tim Scott,
Ike? This just in, Jim DeMint will resign from the Senate. How about that business?
Wow.
So I guess it doesn't matter what Jim DeMint says.
Oh, for real? Oh,
yeah, this just in. Wow. Gee whiz. It looks like the Tea Party's in a little bit of disarray, Jim. Wowee. Check that out. You know what? I was going to do the Dick Armey story.
Yes, an army. Yeah.
It's okay. It says he's leaving Congress in January to lead the Heritage Foundation, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Of course. Yeah, I love this. Inside the Dick Armey Freedom Works split, Dick Armey left the deep-pocketed Tea Party group he helped build over a clash with a top lieutenant who Armey and others in the organization believe was using the group's resources to pad his own pockets. The next sentence, Chris? Armey received an $8 million buyout. Step down.
Yeah, they're just a grassroots organization that has $8 million to give us a golden parachute.
And I love this. Armey confirmed the AP report and told Politico if he left before the election, the concern was that the story the press would write is that the whole Tea Party movement was in a state of disarray.
Yeah.
That possibly might be because the whole Tea Party movement is in a
state of disarray. And now they're $8 million poorer.
Wow. This is getting funner and funner. And meanwhile, the future of the GOP, the mainstream establishment, whatever, Rubio's, he's the future of the whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Tuesday night, he spoke. He's seen the future of the Republican Party, and a potential presidential candidate sought to lay out a blueprint for the party moving forward.
Forward.
Oh, what a good slogan. They should use that next
forward.
Time, moving forward.
I like that. Forward.
Right, forward. Oh, that is good. That is good.
That'll fix it.
But he, too, reached for policies of the past to lay out the road to 2016, echoing policies that Romney proposed, campaigned, and ultimately lost on. They did a side-by-side chart. His position is pretty much the exact same.
Yeah.
Like John Boehner's, his opening offer in the fiscal cliff, it's Mitt Romney's plan about closing the loopholes and whatever.
I have the slogan, forward to the past.
Forward.
It lost. That plan lost in the election.
Building a bridge to the 12th century.
Representative Charles Bustani,
yes.
Republican in Louisiana.
The Speaker has the full support of the conference to move forward and to get something done for the American people.
Yes.
Boehner has a full support of the caucus. Full support. Everybody supports Boehner.
Everybody supports me. Except the president.
How funny that Eric Cantor soundbite would be coming up next.
Although the president seems obsessed about raising taxes on you, we feel that's not the right direction.
It's not the right direction to tax people. That just means more revenue for the government. We hate that.
Okay, and it's always nice to know what the guy that lost to Mitt Romney by a zillion points, who then Mitt Romney went on to lose by a zillion points to the president. What does Newt Gingrich think?
I think that no deal is better than a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think going off this cliff is less dangerous than letting things build up for a year or 2 years to have an even bigger cliff.
Yeah.
I think that the president clearly has staked out a position of non-seriousness, and I think that it's very difficult for the House Republicans right now to find any practical way to get his attention.
Yeah.
Who better than you, who got seriously run out of town on a rail?
Yeah. And this is the guy who said that he would not be held responsible for the horrible consequences of Bill Clinton raising taxes on the rich, because it would be a horrible failure until it worked, and then he took credit for it.
And he was like, see, that's what I said.
President, nothing to do it.
He's a silly little man.
Shree in Houston, Texas, here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Shree.
Hey, Shree.
Hello.
I'm sorry. Hey, Steph.
That's all right, Lamb.
Love your show. I love your show. I'm from Houston, Texas. This is a blue district in a red state.
Yeah.
I just want to make two points. First, when these people in the media talk about these Frank Luntz pollster generator terms like job creators, let's just not use that word again ever on TV. Let's call them the ultra wealthy or something else.
The cash hoarders.
Yes.
What was that again?
The cash hoarders. We should call them the cash hoarders.
cash orders, exactly. It was nobody comes out there and says, all right, let me clear some jobs today. Let me fetch out some job machines. You know, there's the only people who can create jobs is actually the government, the entity. And these guys are just, job creation is just an outcome of economic.
Well, no, wait a minute. Did you say the only people that can create jobs is the government?
I mean, the only entity who can actually has the power to create jobs is the government.
No, I don't think that's true. I think, you know, companies do, but the point is they're not. They are sitting on literally historically record profits, and they are not hiring. So they are. They're right. Job and cash hoarders.
Exactly.
They're not job creators. But that's not true that only the government can create jobs. They can. They just would rather sit on more money.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Alex and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hey, Steph. Hey, guys. I was listening to the debate about, you know, the whole disability thing that they voted on the other day. And as disgusting as that is, what's more disgusting to me is I work with people with disabilities here in Madison, adults in their own homes who've chosen to live independently. They need assistance from time to time with different tasks or different cares. So I get paid to go in and help them. And I took a couple of my clients to vote, and they voted Republican, and I can't influence their decision because of the risk of manipulation of the vote, you know? So I just kind of help them do what they have to do. But, you know, I sit there and I see them voting Republican, and I'm just like, then they turn around and do things like this when it was the rest of the world trying to copy America's gold standard.
Yeah. No, it makes us look silly. I'm sorry. I'm distracted now because it's, you know, am I unnecessarily excited about this?
And now, on the phone from Chicago.
Hold on, everybody, it's Roland Emery.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Oh, dear.
How are you, Mary?
Are you depressed since the election?
No, because to me, I believe that because Obama, with the illegals, you know, between 18 and 35, sure, they could all vote. So why do you
think illegals technically can't vote, Mary?
Lines are 6-7 hours long.
So, I'm sorry,
I mean, think about it.
I'm sorry, Obama won because he had all illegals voting?
Well, you know, he comes out with between 18 and 35, that would be like 100% of them, right? Why do you think voting lines are 6-7 hours long?
Because illegals can't vote.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Well, that's funny. Adolf Hitler registered. So
Hitler, wait a minute. Hitler did what?
I believe it was in Florida.
Hitler had something to do with Florida?
Yeah. He registered for the Democratic Party.
Hitler?
I see. Someone registered saying they were Hitler. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why Obama won.
He would win anyway because it's whatever. You know, you talk what you want to talk, but the facts are the facts, that everything's all planned out.
Mary, you sound a little depressed. I'm a little worried about you.
No, I'm not depressed. I'm just disgusted.
Oh.
No. I'm just disgusted.
By the way, did you see that Cory Booker is going on food stamps for a month? That's another black guy taking food stamps from your son, don't you think?
Yeah, that's funny. Ha ha. Okay? Real funny.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah, real fun.
Well, I'm just saying your first call, you told me that it's too many blacks and Escalades
and
that are taking food stamps.
Yeah, how long ago was that? Let it go.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, you just
You know what? Maybe we need couples counseling.
No. I don't need no counseling. I don't believe in none of that bull crap.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't need some idiot with a degree telling me how to live, okay?
Well,
I know what life is.
Steph only has a theater degree.
Maybe you people don't. I do.
Okay. I'm not suggesting you need therapy. I was,
okay, but I mean,
I was saying I'm sorry that I've let our past get in the way. I won't bring it up again.
Your whole radio station, you just bash, and you put the anointed one, you know, on a pedestal.
He was
okay,
actually elected.
But you know what? You know what? In reality, okay, there's no more morals in this world. Okay, no more morals.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the problem.
Is that the president's fault?
Okay, well, that's the problem. He legalized gay marriage. Marriage is between
woman. He didn't legalize gay marriage.
Okay, well, it's between a man and a woman. You want civil liberties? That's fine. But this is what they teach kids in school, huh? This is mommy and mommy. This is daddy and daddy. Well, you know what? I didn't grow up that way. There's no more morals in this country. You know, come to Chicago.
So straight, being straight is the only moral value?
No, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things.
Like what?
Okay, they say, you know, people,
you know, you
having kids out of wedlock, the teenagers, but you know,
well, only straight people
right
have
way.
Kids out of wedlock.
You know, you call me a lot.
Teach your children the right way.
Mary,
you
call me a lot, and I'm gay. Maybe I'm going to turn you gay.
You ain't going to turn me gay, honey.
Okay,
I don't know.
If it runs off, you might get secondhand gay, you know.
My brother is gay.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
How's that going for him in your family?
Okay. That's just the way it is.
Right, but you don't think he should have the equal rights to get married?
No.
Are you married, Mary?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
What's
31 years.
Good for you.
Mr. Road Flare Mary must be so happy.
Happy.
Happy as a clam, yes, right.
Happy as a clam. Right.
Just, you know, just we
but
just
you don't
can't
think,
make it in this world.
You don't,
you know.
You don't think your brother has a right to get married?
You know, they could have their civil liberties, but I mean, as far as marriage, it's to me between a man and a woman. I mean, you think about it. You know, yeah, you could adopt a kid, this and that, but what a miracle. Think about
some
it. Two women
can't
having a kid, two men having a kid.
Right.
Really? That would be a miracle.
Yes.
Right?
Well, yes. What does Mr. Road Flare Mary do?
Mr. Road Flare Mary.
Yeah, no, your husband.
Your husband.
What does he do?
Okay. What does he do?
What does
he drives a truck.
Okay. He drives a truck. Oh, good. Okay. Okay. Well, good. And congratulations on the 31 years. Don't you wish that I could get married and be married for 31 years?
Sure.
Oh, I just tricked you into marriage.
Well, no.
Oh,
but no.
When okay,
you
take
marriage,
it back.
I'm thinking between a man and a woman.
No, I'm gay, Mary. Do I have to review?
Fine. You could be with your partner for as long as you want. I mean, I'm not saying there's
right.
nothing wrong with that. There
all
is
right.
nothing wrong with that.
Believe me,
I marched in parades, in the gay parades in Chicago with my brother.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
But you don't want him to have... Okay, right. All right, well, Mary, you know what?
Okay, civil liberties, fine, but marriage, no.
No. Okay. Well, you know what? I feel we've made progress even with that. Maybe you're right. Maybe couples therapy is bull. You're right.
No.
We seem to be doing better without without
you
it.
You can go to therapy, pay the money, do what you want, have somebody
right.
tell
oh,
you
I
how
do.
To live. That, I don't play that way.
Okay.
okay? I don't
all
need
right.
somebody telling me how to live.
All right. Okay.
You know, I mean, really, think about it. All I could right. get. I could tell people how to live, too. I'd make a lot of money.
All right.
You know,
listen, I'm
that,
sorry.
How do you feel?
I'm
about
sorry
that?
About the results of the election if they hit that upset you.
Well, you know what? The results of the election, to me, okay, how many votes in Florida that people sent in that they tossed because they didn't sign their name in the back?
Right, the president won every battleground state, though, not
just... Yeah, did he really? Right,
yes.
right, right.
Yes,
the
yes.
majority of it was what?
Yes.
What? Latinos, right?
No.
White
Latinos
people,
are a minority.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is not lousy with Latinos.
White people are the minority.
Yes, the Latino hotbed of Iowa.
Yeah.
all right.
Okay.
I love you, Mary. Call again,
yeah.
okay?
Maybe.
All right.
Please.
Okay,
we love you.
Like
you have a jingle.
Why are you being so distant?
Oh, we learned something new about Brooklyn.
We did.
As his gay brother, she's marching.
You know what? We are progressing in our relationship.
We are.
How about that?
Going a lot better than most of mine.
Someone in the chat room said, yeah, something told me that Mr. Road Flare Mary was gone a lot.
Maybe that's why it works. Maybe that's why they're 31 years
gets
and going
in the
strong.
And drives his truck somewhere, anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere.
Malcolm all money.
I'm just going to get on the Kennedy and just keep driving. I don't care where I end up.
Do you have a load? No. I just got to go.
No, the Eisenhower goes straight west. That's where you need to just,
yeah,
like, away from Chicago.
Why do we get the feeling he drives an empty truck back and forth?
Stevenson to the Kennedy
just
to the Eisenhower.
Just tells her he's a trucker.
The big triangle.
49. No, come on. We're just kidding. 49 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God. That feels weird and good all at once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow. Okay, so you're...
Stephanie Miller.
That don't impress me much.
Sue in Rockville.
Yes.
Says, of all the places in America for Hitler to go, really? Florida with
really?
All of the old Jews?
Sure.
Really?
He's hiding in plain sight.
You know, I just walked out of the bathroom and T-Bone said, oh, Road Flare Mary and a singing Christmas beaver. In my life.
Christmas
any
came
better?
Early.
It's true. fun wow. Oh, by the way, Deb says, Steph, every time I hear that fun wow, kid.
Fun wow!
It makes me think of Michelle Bachman's Yay! Do you think they're related?
Yay!
It's wow. Reparative therapy fun?
Wow!
Yay. Wow! Fun? Being married to a gay guy?
Wow! Wow!
Okay. Allegedly. Okay. Let's go to Brad in California. Hi, Brad.
Stephanie, you're killing me.
I'm killing me.
I'm spitting all over my computer.
Uh-oh.
I'm crying. I almost coughed up a lung.
Oh,
every
dear.
Time you have Mary on, it's just such a treat, you know.
Someone wants to know if we can post that on our Facebook page.
You know what? We'll
know.
Pull that off and put it on our Facebook
page.
Yeah,
you got to hear that if you missed it.
Yeah, and you got to do me another favor from now, because I'm serious. I just put away the Windex. You, from now on, you got to segue to Mary, please. You're begging your indulgence. You gotta,
listen, that's
you
why we have a jingle.
Say, oh, wait a minute, stop. We're going here.
That's right. Why we have a jingle.
Because I got to swallow and I got to breathe.
Yes. The jingle gives you time
you.
To swallow.
I love you. You guys are great.
I love you, too. Okay, see? Jingle, swallow.
Fun. Wow.
There you go. Let's go to David in Fort Wayne. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Yes, go ahead.
Man, Mary, quite contrary. I tell you, no wonder I ran from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party this time.
Hey.
I've been a long-time Republican, and I'm telling you, the country's really tired of those guys holding us hostage. Now, if my boss told me to do something, he would fire me if I didn't do it. And these Republicans are just, they're chasing people away from their party, and they don't even realize it.
Well, you know, and that's actually provably true. We were just doing a poll yesterday about how, literally since the election, how many less people are identifying or want to identify as Republicans and the increase in, Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tell anybody. I'm from a red state, basically. I mean, I think we're turning blue as the time goes on, but I don't want to tell anybody I ever voted Republican. I didn't vote for Obama the first time, but I ran to the polls the second time.
Yeah, Indiana had a way of electorally shutting that whole process down.
Well, you guys keep up the good work. You're making the party a lot stronger, and I'm just thankful that I'm in the right place now.
All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. Keith begs to differ. Keith and I in Ohio. Hi, Keith.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say in that there, why does everybody always knock the Republicans and the Democrats always want to get the daggone threaten you with Social Security every time they don't get something passed? You know, here's
the Democrats
thing.
Threaten
I thought we were all Americans. You know?
What do you mean?
About this country. Nobody uses any common sense anymore.
Uh-huh. What do you mean the Democrats use Social Security to threaten you? What does that mean?
It's just on television not too long ago that they were threatening at their Social Security that we're going to, our Social Security's in bad shape and Medicare.
No, that's Republicans.
Republicans say that.
That's Republicans.
All this passed in order to get it, but yet they keep sending our money overseas. You know, it doesn't make no sense to me.
Well, Democrats don't send money.
T-Bone, give him Mary's number because Mary's husband's on the road a lot.
Nothing
she needs
don't
some,
make no
some
sense
company.
To him. So.
Company.
Okay. Well,
right. I'm not.
The feeling's mutual.
You know, promoting any loose values here. Just company. Just a little someone to
companionship.
Chat with. Someone to chat with over road flares. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right
that
back
was
on the
typical low information voter right there.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it just gets worse and worse for the Republicans. 65% now in the latest poll support higher taxes on income over $250,000. Oh, dear. And Mr. Roadflare Mary has written, Staff, I'd like to clear up the misinformation my wife Mary just disclosed to you on your little radio show. I do not drive a truck. I'm in the witness protection program. I volunteered.
I'm thinking that isn't Mr. Roadflare.
Just
a hunch.
Oh, that's silly. Okay. All right. You know, I'm still mad at him, but I'm going to have him on anyway, even though he got a better story in Newsbusters than I did.
Oh.
Ed Asner joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Hello.
Hello, Ed Asner.
Hi, Speaking.
I, you know, you and I both get targeted by the same right-wing websites. But
I'm so delighted. I think we should bond.
Yes. Clearly we have. Although I have to say, you outdid me in this round. You offered to urinate on a Fox News producer.
Yes, yes, I did.
Good.
And I wasn't. I was even a quart low at the time.
I love you more every time I speak to you. Let's talk about your fundraiser, Autism Speaks. So you can, what people can do is buy custom recorded messages, right, for the, you know, they or their loved ones, from celebrities.
Yeah, and tell them to go to hell, tell them to come home, whatever, and have that celebrity give that special oomph that us, folks in showbiz have.
Right.
And we would zing them in, and it's gone. It's sold phenomenally well. It's just my son had the idea. My son's the executive director for Autism Speaks for Southern California. And he came up with the idea, and we sold it, and people have responded beautifully.
And it's really fun celebrities. William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, Betty White, among others, right?
Oh, yeah. Morgan Freeman, Tom Hanks, Will Ferrell, Patrick Stewart, Nimoy, Derek Jeter, Carrie Fisher.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Ed Asner.
I am nothing. I am nothing. I like to hobnob with the biggies. Like I'm on this show.
That's right. That's right. You're just growly. You probably like just say, beep, why are you calling? Right?
Yeah,
something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'll give them hell. How are you? You doing wonderfully well?
Listen, I'm talking to Ed Asner, and I've made it the farthest I ever have in a conversation without torturing you with my Mary Tyler Moore impression. So I'd say we're both doing.
Now, don't go into it now, please.
No,
please.
I won't.
Don't ruin the effect we've achieved.
Okay.
Yeah.
And talk to us about autism and when, how you got involved and why.
It started off with my having a son who was autistic, a high-functioning autistic. And then that was followed by my older son, Matthew, that executive director I told you about, then having his younger son be on the spectrum of autism. And we both have just participated in the activity and have tried to arouse interest. And I must say that I am delighted and pleased and amazed at how people are responding to autism, and that something that nobody knew anything about 5-10 years ago, My God, the world's aware of it now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've been, you know, working for great causes for so long. I mean, did you see this spectacle on the Senate floor the other day of, you know, Bob Dole there in his wheelchair to support this act for disabilities, and the Republicans voted it down?
Wasn't that lovely the way his fellow Republicans shafted him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, I mean, that to me, and you must have been almost giddy with these election results.
Well, I'm giddy, but I mean, I'm not in adoration of Barack Obama, and I think he's beginning to show signs of life now that he's been reelected.
Right.
So, you and I have tangled on this issue before, but yeah, it's all right. But you know, I just think it's amazing the Republicans took a pretty big drubbing, and they still don't seem to have realized it, do they?
No, they're still in post-traumatic syndrome, I think they're suffering. I was amazed at my fellow Americans that they had that kind of intelligence to swamp the enemy in terms of numbers.
It must have made you even just slightly less cranky that day.
No. It will never stop being.
Oh, you lovable little fuzzball.
Yes, now Stinky, don't get dirty.
All right. There is a link up on stephaniemiller.com for Ed Asner's fundraiser for Autism Speaks, which is a terrific work. And I love you with the heat of 1,000 white hot suns, as you know.
I salam to you.
All right. Bye, honey. Talk to you soon. There he goes.
Is that something for newsbusters? I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, Mr. Grant. See, I did it later.
Hate spunk.
He literally sees me coming, and he's like, oh.
Oh, God. Although there is that picture of him licking the poster of you that's in the elevator by the elevators.
He likes me. He wants to date me. He kissed me.
He really? No, he wants to do more than kiss you. Judging by what he was doing to that poster of you.
He likes spunk. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's it.
He does. He says he doesn't, but he likes spunk. Guess who else likes us?
Who?
SexyLiberal.com on Facebook. With our reach, meaning our likes and our readers with their friends, we have a reach of 3,935,206 people, 100% increase from last year. Check that out.
How about that?
Just saying.
Pretty cool.
I would go to SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal Facebook right now and get those last remaining tickets for January 19th, Sexy Liberal Palooza.
Yep.
Opening Chris, Jim, hopefully Jackie. All four Sexy Liberals, Aisha, Tyler, Hal Sparks, John Fugel, saying me.
Yep.
Huge celebrity on panel. Let's see, Tim's coming. Tim in D.C.
Okay.
Steph. My husband Ron and I. Oh, they have the homo gay on them.
A little. Luckily, Mary's not going to like that.
Are addicted to your show. We watch the current TV show every day on our DVR, and we download the show via a Stephcast subscription.
Oh.
Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
That's a bargoon.
Or $7.95 a month if you have a fear of commitment. and here, so we can hear it without the commercials. Two ways to enjoy me.
There's also a
or you can just lick my picture.
There's also a third way.
That's a third way to enjoy.
There's,
right.
There's a third way to listen coming up very, very, very
soon. So exciting.
I don't know if we can announce it.
I don't think so.
Yet.
It's very exciting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're taking control of our own destiny.
you'll hear us on your fillings.
Here you go.
Except no one has metal fillings anymore.
Oh, so. We jumped in last Friday when you made the announcement about the meet and gropes. You got meet and gropes. We are in row C. Okay, let me write that down. Everybody tells me what row they're in.
Okay.
Can't wait to see D.C. in January. Jim in D.C.
Nice.
So we have meet and gropes, so Republicans get greet and mopes. See what I did there? I spun it around.
Wow, so. You could write in the comment section for Newsbusters. That was comedy magic.
Yep.
All right. Oh, speaking of comedy magic, Keith in Milwaukee says, Steph, looks like, according to a Talking Points memo, Harry Reid will get a filibuster rule enacted. Senators would not be able to silently obstruct. They would have to hold the floor long.
Do the whole Mr. Smith, Jimmy Stewart
right.
thing.
Imagine 36 straight hours of Mitch McConnell. That would be like the scene from Naked Gun 2.5 while the professor puts an entire ballroom of people to sleep. Talking turtles, 36 hours.
I'd
rather hear Jimmy Stewart.
Half of official Washington is here to see democracy's finest show, the filibuster.
The filibuster.
The right to talk your head off.
Right.
The American privilege of free speech in its most dramatic form.
As Jim always says, what the hell accent was that?
I have a mid-Atlantic accent.
Filibuster. What was that?
It's
it was
not
just
quite
old-timey.
British.
It was old-timey.
But it's not quite American either. And
look.
He's the sort of person who would say either, not either.
Chesterfield, 412. Look, it's a story about an actual snake on an actual plane.
What?
Wow. 90 passengers aboard an Egypt Air flight from Cairo to Kuwait could have used them after Samuel L. Jackson, after a snake reportedly bit a Jordanian man who smuggled him on board. He owns a reptile shop. And he
didn't see that coming.
He had a cobra in his carry-on. That's not a question they think to ask you.
No.
Is there a cobra in your carry-on?
Did you pack the cobra in your carry-on?
Did you pack your own
Is
cobra?
Is that a cobra in your carry-on? You just have it to see.
There you go. The passenger was trying to control the snake after it bit his... They don't like that.
No.
They do not like control freaks.
No, not at all.
After it bit his hand, it started slithering under the seats.
As you do.
Jim, do it because you know people want to hear it. Get these...
Get these bleeping snakes off my mother plane.
Okay, thanks.
What is that in Arabic, though? Someone will tell us, I'm sure.
Sure. But.
I would do this. You know, I need a lot of home repairs. California couple abducts handyman, forces him to do home repairs. You know what?
Just call Angie's List.
That's what I was just going to say. You beat me to my own
I'm sorry.
Plug. Please, go to Angie's List. No need to do this.
Right.
After the handyman finished repairing their appliances, they reportedly ordered him to drive them in his van to a relative's house for additional work. On the way, they stopped at a Chevron station to buy gas. The handyman managed to escape while they were inside picking up snacks. Officers arrived at the Chevron to find them still in the snack aisle. See, that ruins your whole crime, is taking too long for snacks.
The snack aisle at a Chevron isn't that big.
Could have gotten away with it if you weren't like, oh, ding-dongs, ho-ho, wow, wow. Jerky, I can't. All right, now we're arrested. Okay.
Pringles, that's what I would go for.
Right? Just make the decision before you get there in the middle of your crime.
Do I want high fructose corn syrup or monosodium glutamate?
I can't make up my mind.
I can't.
Decisions,
say.
Decisions.
What's worse for me?
Okay. I need a V word. When's vacation? 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Come on. It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, it feels like it's a beautiful day.
So let it get away. Aha. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, Chris in Yankton on the regarding the snake on a plane story.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who got bit by the snake on the plane had a reptile dysfunction.
Ah!
Oh, hey, no, he did it!
Really?
Speaking of Gamini, Andrea in North Carolina, road flame area equals traffic hazard. Steph, I was driving south on 77 near Uptown Charlotte. Oh,
uh-oh.
No.
Oh, boy.
Trying to get between two tractor trailers attempting to merge in my lane, laughing hysterically about Mr. Road Flare Mary driving an empty truck. Harrowing for a minute, but worth it. Oh, Road Flare Mary wrote to me again. Steph, just heard Ed Eisner discussing his program to have a celebrity call a relative. Could he have Dog the Bounty Hunter call my husband and see if he's coming home? Road Flare. Oh, people writing fake Road Flare Mary letters. Stop it.
What? That was fake?
Loretta in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Loretta.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to let you know that you saved my life.
How'd I do that?
Well, all this past year, listening to all the network news and CNN and MSNBC, by September, I was ready to slit my throat because I was convinced that the Regressigans were going to win.
Oh, boy.
And I found you, and oh, my God, it was like a light from heaven.
Oh, thank you. You were listening to my happy, clappy ass telling you.
Like me, I'm like, oh, my God, especially after my oldest sister told me this past summer that, oh, she just had to console herself that her baby sister was a communist.
Oh, no.
I'm like, hello, what are we, in the 1950s?
Yep.
Is, you know, McCarthy running around out there?
Well, bless your communist heart, and welcome, welcome.
There are more than 205 communists in the State Department.
By the way, speaking of the election, John Sununu, says Obama won because he turned out voters dependent on government. He's in the GIFs caucus.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He said President Obama won re-election thanks to a base that's dependent to a great extent economically on government policy and government programs.
Yeah,
he said Obama
sure.
won not because of message, but because the party unified and pushed out their government-dependent base.
Didn't John Sununu pretty much prove that he was irrelevant?
Yeah.
During
the
campaign.
Makers and takers
yeah.
argument,
yeah.
which our friend Charles in Sausalito has some thoughts on.
Mm.
Yes, Steph, it's sad but true. I am an ungrateful taker. If only I'd had the good sense to avoid being drafted, unlike those lucky makers, George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Mitt Romney, I would never have been sent to Vietnam, where I was one of those creepy takers who had a fight in a war I did not support, who was unlucky enough to have his left leg blown off below the knee during a firefight. Now I'm taking money from the government because I'm disabled. Jeez, how ungrateful of me to expect the government should take some responsibility for spending me thousands of miles away to fight in a war that the makers avoided because they had the connections to make sure they never served the military. If only I'd known. Charles in South
How could you be so selfish?
Yeah.
What a taker. All right. Let's go to Karen in Arkansas. Hi, Karen. Welcome.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm calling from the gold buckle of the Bible Belt.
Mm, hey, hello now. Nice and shiny.
I was wanting to comment on Paul Ryan and his little talk the other day about how he wants to help the poor now.
Sure he does.
Just trying to salvage his little pitiful career, I guess.
Karen, right, that's a long-held belief. It's been held for at least since last Thursday.
and then on top of it, Ted Nugent says that people on welfare shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Right, right, because he's just rewritten the Constitution.
Right, but you know, most of the people on welfare are white and from the red state.
Thank you. Yep. I was going to say, let's take him up on that offer.
Yeah.
Why? What?
Okay,
you finally hit on a good idea. By the way, so we've been Jim DeMint stepping down. Tea Party in a bit of disarray.
Someone on Twitter had a question.
What?
Live boy or dead girl?
Yeah.
We have no information on that.
Well, it's
Julie
just unusual.
Says, Jim DeMint has a net worth of $65,000. He's tired of being a poor loudmouth cracker. Now he wants to be a rich loudmouth cracker. And the some South Carolina buzz, someone tweeted that Nikki Haley could appoint herself to the Senate seat. So that's what's happening there.
Hmm.
All right. And when we come back, I love this, how the voter ID crusade backfired on Republicans.
Yeah.
It's yet another silver lining in just a post-election season of nothing but silver linings. All right, so we will talk about that and much more as we continue Celebrity Stack on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
She's the queen bee, the star. Those other two are just her little workers.
Coat catchers.
Uh-huh.
34 minutes as Newsbuster calls you.
You coat catchers.
34 minutes after the hour, which I disproved because I threw my coat at Jim and he did not catch it.
That's right.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric Bollert tweets, DeMint gone, Army gone, Beck gone, West gone. This Tea Party thing didn't really work out, did it? How's that Tea Party thing working out for you, Sarah Palin? A hopey changey thing working out pretty good for us. Actually working out pretty good. Thanks for asking. How's that hopey changey thing working out? Remember that tone of voice she used?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That one that made garage doors come up and tampons fly out. That was when I just remember being,
Speak for yourself. My tampon didn't fly out.
Well, yours must be better quality than mine. Eric in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Mom. I love your show. I just wanted to call. Got some news for Mary and all your listeners. I just came from the Pierce County Auditor's Office where I was passing out roses to all the new happy couples. And it was an amazing day here in Washington.
Yay! Congratulations!
Congratulations! Yay! Go Washington State!
In the right direction.
I am jealous. By the way, did you see this? Mexican Supreme Court approves gay marriage. You know what? They're going to have to put up a fence, a rainbow fence, because I'm going. Don't want to get married.
To whom?
Find somebody on the way. Let's get somebody and a bag of oranges on the freeway off ramp on the way.
Some Tijuana hooker on Avenida Revolucion.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
What?
Well, we know she won't eat the worm. But
stop.
What?
By the way, did I mention I got in a car accident yesterday? I almost totaled my car.
You
awesome.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that to you.
How
on the five.
How did you do that?
Well, you know what? It takes skill. It takes mad skills. Nothing. I swear I don't text when I drive because I know you're going to say that. I wasn't doing anything. We were sitting there for like a half an hour. It was like a parking lot because it was another accident. And then we all thought we were moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a big-ass car because I have, giant dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't. I slammed on the brakes and I didn't see the. But let me just tell you the response time. We had to wait for the cops for like an hour and a half. I'm like, you should have told them that I shot you.
Yeah.
The guy I hit was very nice. Very nice.
Was he a fan?
No, and then he hit a gal in front of him, so we all had to wait. It was not a good, it was a bad day. Oh, boy.
I think I know
I haven't gotten an accident ever.
Yeah, I think I know that stretch of the five that you're talking about. It's always a parking lot.
Yeah, everybody thought we were going again because we were all impatient, and
we're
then
walking,
there was another slowdown, and I just...
We're driving, now we're not.
I know, yeah. Okay, could you take your organ out for me? Speaking
right
of...
Away.
Right
away? Right away, Ms. Miller?
I'm going to add a future husband.
Okay.
He's a little young just now. I can wait. I got nothing but time. This kid in Minnesota, we have to give out a... right?
Yes.
I don't know if you heard about this. I saw this in the LA Times. Catholic teen's gay marriage stance unsettles Minnesota town. A teen's Catholic confirmation is called off after a Facebook post in which he opposed a church-backed measure. His name is Lennon. He's named after John Lennon. How cool is that?
Very cool.
Lennon Seahawk, I think his name is, high school junior in a Minnesota town of Barnesville. on October 24th, 13 days before the vote on the, you know, the proposed constitutional amendment defining marriages between a man and a woman. We talked to Chris Cluey, Minnesota Vikings punter, a couple of times about this. He was a big supporter, obviously, of marriage equality there. Anyway, he said he'd been thinking about the marriage amendment. A lot of his friends were opposed, saying it didn't seem fair. He said in the Constitution it says all men are created equal. If they can't get married, they aren't equal, he remembers thinking. So that night he took a pro-amendment yard sign, changed vote yes to vote no with a black marker, and scrawled the words equal marriage rights. He then posed with the sign, snapped a photo with his phone, and posted the picture on Facebook, the source of all trouble in America.
Well.
Next day, urgent message on the family answering machine from the father, the parish priest. He told her that Lennon's opinions on same-sex marriage were in conflict with the church. Her son could not be confirmed or play in any more of their reindeer games. She says she was stunned. Lennon had only expressed an opinion. He wasn't even old enough to vote. Why should he be denied a sacrament with others who break church rules or not? She said, you need to tell me that when you stand up there on Sunday and you see all those families with two or three kids, you don't know they're using birth control? Good point. She says she was told she could no longer serve as a sponsor of one of the kids in the confirmation class. She came home in tears.
Wow.
He also, the priest said Lennon was the one who decided to end the confirmation process. Lennon said the idea that he quit is untrue. And his father said, he made one point. He said, what are you doing looking over your shoulder reporting a kid's Facebook page to the parish priest? Yeah. Get a life, will you? Lately, he says he's been rethinking his once steadfast beliefs. Before, I was always one man, one woman. I'm a conservative. But the polling place, he paused when it came to voting on Marriage for Minnesota Act. In the end, I sided with my son.
Well, there you go.
It's a Let's Hear from the Boy part two.
Maybe they're realizing that that particular religion isn't for them anymore since it doesn't match their beliefs.
They're not saying they're going to leave the Catholic Church, but it's, you know, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many Catholics that don't, certainly the birth control rules and all of that.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, to prevent a kid from getting confirmed because he expressed an opinion is... Oh, this was a story I wanted to get to. How the voter ID law backfired on Republicans. The Republican push to make it more difficult to vote this year, seen by many as racially tinged attempt to keep Democratic turnout down, could not have failed more spectacularly, according to a top African-American activist. He said that conservatives had suspected, there was a drop-off in enthusiasm initially among African-Americans. Right.
Enthusiasm.
Between 2008 and 2012. Unfortunately for those Republican strategist plans, however, other Republicans and legislatures across the country were on a quest to impose restrictions on voting, chasing the ghost of in-person voter fraud. Those Republican legislators flipped a switch with the African-American vote, he said, rekindling whatever enthusiasm had waned after 2008's historic.
Yeah, voter suppression will do that.
Wow. Thank you, Republican governors. Nicely done. But he did warn Democrats may not have the same luck in 2014. He said some of these voting laws that didn't bark weren't in effect because we had pushed them off in the courts, but they will be in effect for the next election. We have to overcome those. So he's just saying we have to stay vigilant and all that, because that's what I was saying. The people really, really got ticked off at the thought of it losing a right that so many people had died for them to get. All right, let's go to Mike in Florida. Hi, Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Go ahead.
I had a couple of comments. One, I was listening to, I can't help it here on the Redneck Riviera, listening to Fox News because it's on everywhere.
Yep.
The impassioned plea by Bill O'Reilly that Christianity is not a religion but a philosophy.
Right. That's what he was saying the other day.
I don't understand what he means.
That means it's a whole lot like Marxism, maybe, or socialism, maybe, or... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know what he meant by that.
What he meant by that is that you can't separate government from a philosophy. You can separate it from a religion because the Constitution says so, but you can't separate it from a philosophy. That's what he was trying to argue.
So, therefore, it's not a religion.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a religion.
Well, I'm not sure what seminary he went to, but the one I went to said it is a religion.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Nice try, Bill. All right. Bill running out of things to talk about.
Yeah.
All right, Chrissy in Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi. Do you know where I can buy a Nikki Haley pinata, like the kind Mexican lady let her daughter use on her birthday?
Now.
They should sell those. Or a presidential wannabe pinata with Paul Ryan's face on it.
Oh, now. Let's not encourage violence.
It would have to be a very skinny pinata.
A vice presidential wannabe with Marco Rubio's face on it.
All right. Listen, you scamp. Let's go to Jim in Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Stephanie. Mooks, love you guys here in the redneck state of Indiana. While I was waiting, I think I have the Republican Party's next campaign slogan.
Okay.
Republicans, we can't remember past tomorrow. Second thing is, what do you think of Sheldon Adelson showed up at Boner's office?
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, when was that?
Yesterday.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Like Boner needs anything,
right.
anything else to have a headache over. All right. You know what?
What?
Yeah, we got rid of a lot of the Tea Party crazies, including Jim DeMint, who just resigned today. They still have their games in a Hoff, though. Got to have your crazy uncle in the attic, right? He railed against President Obama's recent speech before an anti-WMD proliferation symposium, suggesting the president and other far-left believers' true desires include no military altogether.
And his proof is?
He went on crazy Frank Gaffney's radio show. Gaffney initially accused Obama of practicing national security fraud and of misleading American people by championing efforts to reduce the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Here's what Inhofe said. He said, President Obama made a statement yesterday that's just stunning. He said to a group of nuclear disarmament enthusiasts, we're moving closer to the future we seek, a future where these weapons never threaten our children again. What? That's almost like what Ronald Reagan said. That's
like we need to start World War III immediately.
He said conservatives
need to... We have them. We have to use them.
Conservatives need to realize that in the present, they are truly dealing with the far left who doesn't think we need a military to start with.
That's...
Yeah.
Not
so
true.
That's how we got the Somali pirates and Osama bin Laden by not having a military
at all.
Right. Okay, Arnold in North Carolina.
We have nobody in Afghanistan right now.
No.
Steph, I like to talk about the backlash that that Afro Americans and Latinos put on as Republicans during the last election when they tried everything in the world to stop us from voting, all the suppression and everything. And now, can you believe it? They're trying to blame the loss of them on Acorn, who did not exist in 2012.
Yeah. Exactly how out of touch this party is. They literally. A majority blames something that doesn't even exist anymore for President Obama's victory. I mean, it's hilarious. Road for Mary, we can laugh, but she's talking about Florida. I'm like, he won every battleground state. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like they don't have they're just lost. I don't know what to say. So we say yay for Washington State today.
Yep.
Marriage equality went into effect, and we won another victory on the progressive side, Oklahoma. No more transvaginal probes.
That's right.
Oh, no.
We're known for closely inspecting your carry-on. We're Transvaginal Airlines. We've pulled out of Oklahoma, but we're still committed to fly regularly into Kansas and Nebraska. And get ready. We have plans to fly to Alabama, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and Texas. At Transvaginal, we know why you fly, and we'll be there for you, whether you like it or not.
Yay, 45 minutes after the hour. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Up in where?
Up in there.
Up in there.
Up in here.
Mm-hmm.
Up in here.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get your face up in there, boy. 45 minutes after that. You know, I'm going to whip out my Christmas fever again for the end of the show. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Now you can even present from your iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
I'd like to thank Ronnie for the Christmas beaver he sent me. And it sings. All right, that's it. That's the final appearance by the Christmas Beaver this morning.
By Bucky the Christmas Beaver?
By Bucky the Christmas Beaver. Okay.
I think we need him out of set dressing and all the way up until Christmas.
All right. Okay. Carson in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Seth. Hi. I had the pleasure of meeting you at the Meet and Grope in Madison last spring.
Yay.
I'm Finnegan's mother.
Oh, okay.
I was just calling because I just wanted to comment that when the Republicans use the Romney versus Obama election numbers, that doesn't necessarily mean that the people that voted Republican voted because they're against the upper 2% tax increase. They may have voted for, you know, goofy social issues like they're anti-gay or they're,
right,
you know, some other reason.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Well, that's true. But I'm, what is it? Oh, no, 65% in the poll this morning.
Yeah.
Favor having the rich pay their fair share, the people who make above $250,000 a year.
Yep.
So then, yeah. It was 60% in the exit polls.
Hmm.
Only going up. Oh, Dinesh D'Souza.
Oh.
Bitter much?
Yeah, he's so bitter.
Bitter party of one.
Oh, this is awesome.
He
blames, I love this story.
2016 Obama's America Oscar snub, not on it being bad, but on Hollywood liberalism.
Yeah, of course.
That's it. Yes. It's a big pile of
snubbed
crap.
By the Oscars.
I put out a documentary. Why wasn't I nominated for an Oscar?
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah, the Academy Award nominees have been for documentary feature have been announced missing. 2016.
Because it was a
Obama's
bad
crap
documentary.
Okay. Naturally, it has conservatives in a tizzy, including Dinesh D'Souza.
Mm-hmm.
By ignoring 2016, he said, our friends in Hollywood have removed any doubt average Americans may have had that liberal political ideology, not excellence, is the true standard of one.
Oh, my God.
I've read so many reviews, and not just from liberals. It's just crap. It's not even what a documentary is. It's like they did reenactments with actors.
Right.
That's not a documentary.
Wow.
Documentaries are supposed to be a search for some kind of truth.
Right.
His was like he took an idea that he already had that was complete.
And then fictionalized the film around it. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Here's what I think between
what happened
Barack Obama's
place
uncle
that I wasn't.
And Kenya at one point, and here's some actors to...
How dare they not nominate me for an Oscar? Harumph! Don't they know who I think I used to be?
This reviewer says, 2016 is a well-polished polemic asking the sort of questions you'd find in a forwarded chainmail from your conservative uncle.
Yes. Drunk
there
uncle.
There are plenty of non-liberal critics who found the movie to be overly reductive and unintentionally hilarious. Ultimately, it seems the Academy will snub movies that are, you know, not good. That's
that happens on occasion.
That's an outrage.
Kind of a requirement that the film be, you know, at least good.
I picture Dinesh D'Souza like Norma Desmond. I'm gonna have a screenwriter write my comeback. Be a remake of Salome.
I'm still big. It's the pictures I got small.
He only wants my car. What?
Dinesh D'Souza's gonna be in the swimming pool face down.
Yeah. Well, they point out it made a lot of money. Like that. That doesn't mean it's right or it's good or it's true. It just means you have a market for
you
that kind of.
You marketed to the right idiots.
Happy Madison made a lot of money.
Oh, hello. Wow, really?
But
I rest my case.
Yeah, that's not going to be nominated for an Oscar.
How about this? Speaking of truth, Glenn Beck has announced he's teaming up with Vince Vaughn to produce a new reality show. It's called Pursuit of Truth.
Vince Vaughn is a righty.
That will pit. I love him. I said hi to him on hiking near my house one day. I was like, hi, I love you. I didn't know.
You also
back, Vince.
You also said hi to Jessica Lange.
Oh, well, that, you know. Now, all the more reasons to love her.
Really?
Pursuit of Truth will pit 20 documentary filmmakers in a competition. Glenn Beck said, I'd love to see stuff that just isn't done. Something on the Federal Reserve. The game that's being played there. I'd love to see something on why capitalism is actually a good thing. Why it's not a bad thing. Huh?
Who said capitalism was a bad thing?
So there's no capitalism in Hollywood, apparently. They don't care how much money they make. So we won't be hearing about the gross
who's
ever again.
Saying that capitalism is a bad thing?
Didn't he buy a farm somewhere?
I don't know.
Does he have a farm in Africa or somewhere? No, it's in the middle of the country somewhere.
There's a farm in northwest Lincolnshire.
Oh, my God. Did you see, what do you call it? Anderson Cooper went temporarily blind?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
He burned his balls. His eyeballs.
Eyeballs.
Wow. Well.
He was in Portugal shooting a story for 60 minutes. He was out shooting at sea. The sunlight reflecting off the water burned his retina so badly he went blind for 36 hours.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
God. Sunglasses. Come on.
Yes. People. Sunglasses.
Polarized sunglasses.
What?
A hat.
Priscilla Presley thinks The Simpsons should be banned because it's not good for kids. Stupid actress. What? She'd have to ban The Simpsons. It's not good for people's moral compass.
Hasn't it been on for over 20 years?
Yeah.
I mean, if it hasn't been banned by now, it's probably not going to be banned.
It ought to be outlawed by society.
She said, I think we need to bring back something more family-oriented, like Leave It to Beaver.
Oh, God. Really?
Really? Like that dialogue would play today? Ward, I think you were a little hard on the Beaver last night.
Or it could bring back that sex scene she had with Leslie Nielsen in The Naked Gun.
Yeah, right?
There you go.
Exactly.
Oh, Stuart, I speak jive.
No wonder she likes Leave It to Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. That was her famous line that you just played.
God, you're right.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
Nice Beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
And that's not bad for kids.
Family values right there.
Sure.
Alanis Morissette is speed partying these days. She says she can still have fun now that she's a mother, but her partying has to be condensed into brief spurts. If I party, it's for 11 minutes.
11 minutes?
Everything's very fast.
That's very precise.
It's like speed dating. Speed party. Hey, she's a mom, you know?
It's not 10 minutes. It's not 15 minutes. It's 11
minutes.
Exactly
11 minutes.
Okay,
that'd be me if I was a mother.
Barely time to get a fly in your Chardonnay.
Mommy's taking her medicine. Just give me a second.
Is that how long it takes you to glug down an entire jug of Andre?
Why did I have kids? All right, Billy Bob Thornton says that he would go to Angelina Jolie's wedding if he's invited. Oh, they asked him what they think would be the easiest wedding gift he could give. I'm guessing her blood back. Give her blood back.
Well, I'm sure she wants that.
In a vial. Yeah. And give her knives back.
She would want that.
There you go. All right. Friday's with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang
tomorrow.
Indeed. And another fabulous Friday show as we barely crawl to the finish line this weekend. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.